That you'll be. Hi, Ayo. Good evening. It's interesting to be doing this with you. Trying to get him on the telephone without very much success.
Right.
So I'm going to pretend to be Festus in a way, and you're going to pretend to be me.
Okay. Oh my goodness. Okay. Let's talk about what you wanted to talk about with him.
Yeah, what I wanted to do was to go into some of the issues that were raised by the IMEC chair at his Chatham House address
conversation
about 3 days ago.
Right.
And because at IDEAS our motto is integrity, democracy, ethics, and accountability.
Mm.
We're concerned in this regard with the integrity of the electoral process.
Okay.
And of course, there's the one that we all know, which is going to vote and do all the rest of that.
Right.
But before we get to that, there's a lot that I wanted to discuss with Festus about how the Independent National Electoral Commission ensures the integrity of its own processes.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen, for example, Sandra, that with regard to the voters register, the IMEC had, first of all, it had, when there was a lot of new registrations, but what IMEC found was that a large number of those were double registrations and so on. And so it had weeded them out.
Right.
But it then had, and that's part of the effort to ensure that the voters register is less of a work of fiction than it was maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But what we find is that the, how do I put it? You have a situation where the double registrations can be identified, but the one that had been concerning a lot of people was the issue of underage registration.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I always say that in a way, it's a testament to the fact that IMEC is indeed improving in the sense that people realize that they have to have physical people to, you know, physically come and cast their votes rather than being able to interfere with the process down the line of collation or something. But what you find is that if you have people who, if you don't have enough bodies, then you're going to, there are two things that you can do. You can either bring in people who are not Nigerians to come and register, or you can bring in underage people to come and register. Now, with regards to underage people, the commission said that it had received a number of complaints, but that when you looked at it, when it had weeded out those who were deemed to be underage, the truth was that the percentage of underage registrations was really very low and was not likely to have made much of a difference, although it's still a percentage and it's good that the commission is alive to that. But he didn't mention the National Population Commission because the issue of underage voters or underage registrants is really tied directly to the fact that we are not properly registering the births of children.
Right.
And as it happens, under international law, it's actually a human right to have your birth registered.
Yes.
And so the fact that that's not being done by the National Population Commission remains a source of concern, because we're going to continue having this idea of, well, you look like this age, you don't look like that age, and so on. So I think that in the long run, it requires the NPC to be up and doing, and also to understand, as I said, that it's actually a human right for a child who is born in any country,
to be registered,
yeah, to have their birth registered, so that they assume a legal personality.
Yeah.
So that's one. So they did that, and so we're the voters registered. We're now at the stage of collection of the
PVCs,
permanent voters cards, and I think, Sandra, that with regard to this, we hear different stories here and there about the difficulty that people have been having in collecting their cards.
Right.
And in fact, as you know, I turn out every Saturday for the Bring Back Our Girls movement. And two Saturdays ago, we had one of our participants, and she said that she had registered, but she had not been able to collect
her
PVC.
Right.
But luckily, by the time she came the next week, mm-hmm. she had been able to collect it.
Great.
So, and I think that this speaks in a little way to the integrity of INEC staff. Now, we know that when you're doing a nationwide exercise, mm-hmm. whether it's the distribution of permanent voters cards or when it comes to elections themselves, mm-hmm. INEC does not employ enough people for that, because it doesn't need that many people on its books for the whole year round. So it's going to employ ad hoc staff, mm-hmm. people who are engaged purely for the purposes of either distributing the cards or conducting the elections. Mm-hmm. And to me, one of the things that I wanted to raise with Festus was the question of what is the integrity training that is given to INEC ad hoc staff. Mm-hmm. And don't let me come across as if I'm saying that the permanent staff are all angels and saints, mm-hmm. and it's only the ones that come in afterwards that don't do the right thing. Mm-hmm. But it's a question of, first of all, they're having to understand that they are to act impartially and independently and to do their job. Mm-hmm. If they do their job, then there'll not be room for, some of the tales that we've been hearing. Mm-hmm. I think to an extent those tales have died down. But I wanted to find out, was that because INEC was now supervising what was being done, listening to complaints from people who had not been able to collect their voters' cards, mm-hmm. and making sure that their staff are living up to the integrity standards that we would want to see, mm-hmm. that we would want to see in the
process
of the election.
Right.
But of course, that's just with regard to collection of cards.
Right.
When it comes to the actual poll itself, we also want to know to the extent to which INEC staff are having this integrity training, mm-hmm. because I do another program on Friday mornings, and mm-hmm. I was discussing the issue of this provision in the Electoral Act, mm-hmm. whereby the result can be declared at a polling station, mm-hmm. but that if within 7 days INEC can review the result, mm-hmm. and if it decides that result was achieved either by coercion, mm-hmm. or the threat of violence, mm-hmm. or the person who is supposed to be the polling officer not mm-hmm. following the rules, the regulations, mm-hmm. and the law, mm-hmm. then that result can be set aside. Now, a senior advocate, Chief Wole Olanipeko, SAN, mm-hmm. had complained that was a very dangerous provision.
Right.
But without going into that aspect of it, I think it does again put an onus on the shoulders of the INEC staff.
Right.
And if they're an ad hoc staff, I personally wouldn't expect them to put their lives in danger,
right.
by saying, I'm not going to change this result, mm-hmm. or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But that being said, are we in danger of the staff now coming and saying that result, don't accept it? Mm-hmm. When the full picture is seen, mm-hmm. somebody coming and saying now that the result that I gave you was achieved by coercion, mm-hmm. or something.
When there was no coercion or anything like
yes.
that.
Mm. Of course, I think it has to be, just as with any other matter, mm-hmm. it has to be proved by evidence.
Of course.
And And in fact, even if INEC sets aside a result, mm-hmm. the courts can look at it and decide to reinstate that result. You'll remember in the Imo State gubernatorial election, mm-hmm. where INEC decided that there were about 300 or so mm-hmm. results that it was not going to mm-hmm, mm-hmm. include in the total. Mm-hmm. And that was akin to this kind of decision, that mm-hmm. we were not accepting these results.
That was where the wreck was kidnapped, right?
I don't know whether the record
was abducted or was under duress. He had to announce the results under duress.
Well, he didn't announce. The INEC didn't accept these
the results. Yeah.
And then the in fact, it was Hope Ozodima who had been declared, because he didn't have the results from those 300 stations. He had been declared the fourth in the race.
Yeah.
And he went to court.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those cases where there's a kind of assumption that, well, he hasn't got the proof of those results, mm-hmm. but he had in fact had the police officer mm-hmm. who was supervising the whole, and he had the results sheets as signed by the police officers under his command. And so once those were admitted as evidence, there was nothing to counter them. So they went into the total and put him into first place. But the point is that if that is if that happens without any evidence,
mm-hmm.
then you find yourself in a situation where the section of the Electoral Act which allows INEC to review, it could be subject to abuse. So I think that because we, as ideas, we talk about integrity and we also talk about ethics, and there's a kind of assumption about us as Nigerians that we don't live up to the standards that ethics requires. But I think that we should be a bit more, we should have higher expectations of ourselves.
Mm.
We should, because in the first place, the polling officer is not going to be acting alone. The polling agents of the different political parties are also going to be present.
Mm-hmm.
And so unless they all get in on the conspiracy,
mm-hmm.
then it's going to be a problem for them to change the result.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that said, I remember Ada Trisha Nwaobi, I think, yes, who writes occasionally for the New York Times. And she was describing her experience as a polling assistant
mm-hmm.
in the this probably was about 2003 or 2007, and she said
2007 elections didn't happen.
and she was saying that that you had at that stage you had a situation where people would come for accreditation,
mm-hmm.
they would go away and then they would come back
mm-hmm.
and they would vote,
mm-hmm.
and if you had a maximum of 500 people mm-hmm. at a polling station, you would find yourself in a situation where maybe 70 of them had come
mm-hmm.
and the remaining 500 were nowhere to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And that when they had counted the 70 that had actually been cast,
mm-hmm.
the polling officers would gather everybody around, mm-hmm. including the agents of the opposing party, and say, look, we're all from this place now, and we know that this person is going to win. The question is he going to win and look at this place and say, these people also voted for me? Or is he going to say, those people didn't vote for me, they can't get any road or anything. And that, so let's do something with this remaining 430 votes. Then that could be possible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're maturing in our democracy, and agents are also becoming a little less cavalier about their responsibilities,
right?
And in fact,
also technology.
Technology is just one thing, because with the bimodal voter accreditation
mm-hmm.
system,
mm-hmm.
if you've been accrediting people at a steady rate, maybe one every 2 minutes, and so on and so forth, and then suddenly at the end of the day, 300 people get accredited, and the INEC is going to raise a question, because
right.
it's probably not physically possible,
right.
and so on. And as you say, that technology will show the rate at which people were being accredited,
right.
and so on.
Right.
And then, of course, the issue of the transmission of the results, I've always said that, to me, it's not really the question of the electronic transmission.
Mm-hmm.
It's that the result from the polling station mm-hmm. should be with INEC. Mm-hmm. And to me, it doesn't really matter if it goes by carrier pigeon, quite frankly. As long as INEC gets the result
yeah.
from that polling station,
yeah.
then anybody, and this is also available to us as voters, mm-hmm. you can go to the INEC website and say, I was at this polling station, mm-hmm. number so, 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 and so, when they counted the votes. Mm-hmm. I want to check and see that the votes that I saw counted and declared mm-hmm. are the ones
reflected on the website. Well, I wish we had time to talk a bit more, but it's already 4 o'clock. No. I know.
You see, this is fun. This is me, how I can talk the hind legs off a donkey. And you know, we lawyers. We like the sound of our own voice.
But it's great talk. It was a great conversation. I loved having it with you, Ayobe. Thank you so much for coming for Ideas with Ayobe today. Hopefully next week, if I have to do it again, we'll have a better flow.
We'll have a flow.
Yeah.
In fact, next week, we're going to be talking about the role of the press and the media.
And
I was just looking at your guidelines for mm-hmm. political broadcast. Mm-hmm. It's not a political broadcast. But, you know, because of this thing that people are saying, these journalists, they're biased and so on. Are they allowed to be biased? Are they allowed to do this? Are they allowed to?
We're not allowed to be biased.
You're allowed to have, I mean, the media in general, is it that you are not allowed to express any positions or what are the rules? That's what I want to go into. Because there are a lot of people that we expect to be neutral in this process, mm-hmm. and we're going to be examining all of them.
Okay.
So thank you so much, Sandra, for guiding me through my monologue.
You're welcome. Let's bring you business news, Lagos, after that.